Wow, good evening, everybody. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. It's a great word this morning, wasn't it? We heard about the church. We heard about the place of feasting. And that's what this place is. It's amazing how we get filled with God's encouragement, his words, his instruction, body life, presence of God. It's amazing. So I have just a small portion here to share that's been on my heart. So let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessing on the entire evening. Every word spoken would bring glory to you. We would have an openness with heaven to be connected to the Spirit and what it wants to say through the Word, that the Word would come alive in our heart, that you would instruct us, that you would visit us as you have so many times. And we just thank you that we have privilege to gather together with a goal in mind, and that is to meet with you and to worship you and hear from you. And we pray for this portion in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 15. You ever read the Bible and, you know, those the words jump off the pages and they go into your heart? Like you're reading along and it's like you're just reading, but then you hit that area and it leaps from the Bible to the heart, and you just know it's God, right? This is his word. And it comes alive, and you know, we use this word rhema because it speaks of it becoming personal and hearing from God. And it's such a privilege to hear from God. You know, sometimes I never heard God speak my name, but I have heard him speak from the Bible. I even knew a church called Bible Speaks. I like that. Oh, yeah. Chapter 15, verse 15. It says, "All the days of the afflicted are evil." Well, it starts off kind of negative. It's like, isn't that encouraging? All those days of the afflicted are evil. Don't we hate afflictions? Boy, do we like the opposite of that, but not afflictions. But it is during the difficult times that great things happen for the believer who has a fellowship with the Lord and with the body of Christ. And here it is, it says this, "But he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast." Do you like getting around people that have joy? I mean, come on, nobody wants to be with a sourpuss. That's an old, I guess that's a New England expression, you know, somebody that eats pickles that are sour. You know, but when you're around somebody that has a cheerful countenance and has joy that is derived not because the conditions in life are perfect, but they have something going on in their heart that's from heaven, you just kind of want to get near them. And you want to have conversation with them. And you want to be around them. And it's you know, you can either catch COVID or you can catch joy. Which do you want? I'll take the joy. I've had the other, but I'm thankful I have the joy of the Lord. And, you know, it's no secret in a way. Where does it come from? It comes from, well, you could say many things about where it comes from. It comes from the Word. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from a message from our pastor. It comes from body life, sitting with other like-minded people who have God's mind, brings one beautiful picture. And we heard about it this morning in Ephesians 1:23, We heard that the fullness of Christ is where? It is in the body. And so that's a resource for having a merry heart, a heart that has a focus on the thing that is eternal. And I like the picture a lot, and if you would turn with me to one more place. And it's going to be in the book of John. Chapter 4. In Istanbul, when I preach, people want to know, like, okay, so what verse is it? What verse? And I don't give it away because I want them to get there first. And it's kind of funny. We have a good time. So where are we going? I don't know. So in John chapter 4, it begins in verse 4. I like what is said about Jesus having purpose and knowing what he's doing. Like, he knows where he's going. It says that, and he must needs go through Samaria. He has a divine appointment set up for him. And that appointment is being revealed from his Father to him, and he will instruct the disciples that we're on a mission and something of great purpose. And it probably won't line up with their kind of thinking, because they're going to see a Samaritan. They're going where Samaritans are. There will be a woman at the well that will be visited. And I think if they were to vote on it, that would be the place they would not go. But Jesus has the final say. And he is going to take them on a mission. And he's going to send them away. And he's going to have a divine appointment with a lady by himself. He's going to culturally do everything wrong. Man talking to woman by himself. And a woman that nobody should be talking to anyway if you're a Jew. So all of those barriers fall to the ground. And Jesus has a time with this lady, and he asks her several questions, but one of them, I like this statement. He said, "If you were to ask of me, I would give you living water." And I think about Jesus having a merry heart. I don't necessarily mean he's smiling at the time, but he's having a good time. He's having a great time walking in the plan of his Father. And he says in verse 14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto eternal life." And he continues on with this beautiful conversation with this woman, and it goes into a conversation about worship, and then it leads to him revealing who he is to her. And she's excited. She believes. She goes into the town. She drops her water pots, and she's on her way in verse 28. And then the part I want to talk about that connects with Proverbs 15:15 is this. It's in verse 31. "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, 'Master, eat.' But he said unto them, 'I have meat to eat that you know not of.'" Oh, man, this is a feast. Jesus is explaining about a feast to some disciples who Acts chapter 2 has not happened yet, but they're going to experience the same kind of feast in the future. But for now, Jesus is enjoying. He's enjoying a spiritual dinner just by connecting with this woman whose faith would be drawn into a relationship by faith and become a believer, and heaven would now have rescued another lost soul. And Jesus, I can just picture him being so like filled with the moment when the woman believed and she went into the city and she told the men everything that he spoke about me in every way. He knew everything about me. You've got to come and see him. Surely he is the Messiah. And there's a feast going on. It's kind of like Jesus gave her dinner. Now she's going to go and invite some others for dinner. And they will come, and they will get around him, and they will get around the disciples. And you know what? There's not going to be sadness. There's going to be gladness. There's going to be a feast taking place. There's going to be a different mindset about life and about sin and about all these different things that plague man. And I think, like Pastor Shallow made an interesting comment this morning. He said, when someone is forgiven, they're no longer self-conscious. And I like that a lot because it's true. When you know you're washed and you know you're clean because of what Christ did, the eyes come off of self and onto him, and you are now a partaker of that feast. And last night at my house, we had a little gather together with friends from upstairs, which is my friends from China. You know who they are? Scott and Laura Chatham. And then Erhan was there. And we had a little mini feast in the living room just talking about the messages and going over these things that we've been hearing. And just so thankful for ministry that brings us into a place of having a continual feast. It's amazing what God has done in this church, and how we continually, it's not a one-time feast, is it? It's just like it goes on, and you don't know exactly where it will take you. You can't plan it all, but we got something going on in the inside. We have joy. We have purpose. We're a persuaded people that God cares for us. He has a plan for us, and he will use our mouth as a mouthpiece to speak his words. I think of this verse in Isaiah 50, verse 4, that Jesus was woken up morning by morning and given a word in season that he may speak a word in season to those who are weary. And he has given us this. He has given us the tongue of the learned. And isn't it a joy to speak good things? Isn't it a joy to be on a divine appointment that God sets you up with, and you're surprised it comes out of your mouth? I think the greatest shock for me when I first got saved, after about a few weeks of coming to church and hearing messages, one day I went to a house and we were having coffee. It was like around 10 at night. And all of a sudden, the conversation, it's about the Bible. I never was with a group that would talk Bible, and that's what they wanted to talk about. And it was so refreshing. After about 1 hour, it's like 5 minutes went by, and I'm drawn into this new thing called fellowship with joy in my heart. And I said, wow, I'm part of this group. Somehow I got involved in it. I'm accepted. I'm understanding. There's something going on here. Everybody has a portion that they remember from the scriptures, and we're feasting on it. And I'm driving home at 1 a.m. I'm saying, did that really happen? Am I okay? I never had days like that before, but it really is. It's a continual feast. And it does produce. We have definitely a merry heart because God is in us. Amen? Okay. So Now is my great privilege. I have you know we're in Turkey, and I have a heart for Istanbul and Erhan's here in Bible school, and I have a great privilege to introduce a friend, a Turkish man that I have known for years, and he's here with us tonight, and he's going to speak to us. And so welcome, Pastor Niazi.
Hello, everyone. Wow, such a great blessing to stand here in front of you. And you know how to love. We feel a lot of love when we come here this morning. We have seen many of you, and I'm really thankful for this love. I don't deserve it, definitely, but receiving it and seeing it, it is genuine, it is beautiful. Really, thank you from my heart. Thank you for being here. When we come here, I said, well, I'm going home. And when I'm going back there, I'm going home. So such a great blessing this is. I'm here with my wife. Her name is Irada, and my daughter, Gloria, and my son, Özcan. And I just want to just, they will stand for a moment that I want you to see them. Yeah, thank you, Pastor Schaller, giving this beautiful opportunity to look at you from here. And I just want to little greetings from our church. It was 2 years ago. We decided to start a fellowship. We rent a place. They said that Sunday, 5 p.m., we will be there faithfully. And a couple of times, we were there only me and my wife and my kids. But we faithfully continued. Now we have a dozen of people. We come together every Sunday. And we open the book together. And in a way that we set a table. And in that table, we put some spiritual food. And that food never makes your stomach upset. It makes you really like, you know, it gives some spiritual continuous energy. And once you eat that food, you are longing for it. You look for the same taste. And God says that, come and taste me. And in the church, we have this taste. And the one of the reason that in here, when I was here in the Bible school, we, and also in Istanbul, we got this taste. In Azerbaijan, we tasted the word of God. We taste God's goodness, His faithfulness, His grace, His mercy. Once you taste it, wherever you are looking for it, right? You know, this is the things that what we do there. And so, like, sometime, like, a couple of people sitting around the table open the Bible, and, like, God is speaking to someone. In the Bible, we have stories, right? God spoke to someone. Such a great blessing and privilege to know the thoughts. You know, on the road of Emmaus, right? Two disciples, they heard. They heard God, God's thought, what God think about you. What God's think about us. These thoughts are so nourishing our soul. This is the only things that in this world will satisfy your heart, my heart. That's why we are going after that. And I am just blessed. I'm who I am, that dirty face. You know, I will just stand in front of God. Do I deserve that? But it's not about you deserve or not. You come and get it. That table, that feast, that everyone is welcome. Now it is up to you and I. It is up to each individual that they can say yes to God and come and sit and eat as much as you want. Come and sit and have fellowship. Isn't it amazing? This is Christianity, right? It doesn't depend on your performance or what you have done. How, like, in the, how, there is no standard. Because world standard is so high, I cannot meet it. In many ways, I frustrated. You know, in the all of us, we taste it too. There is a bitter taste, right? But when we taste God, we want to come again and again. And lastly, I want to, my lovely verse. It says, it is 1 John 1:7. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all our sins. So let's have this walk with God, because we are welcome that walk. You can just walk with God. Isn't it amazing? I have this. Walk with God, okay? We can do that. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with one another. We can have great fellowship around the word of God. And blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all our sins. Amen? Thank you.
Could you change your position and just stand up and look around and don't say anything, but just look around and what's going on. And you know, stand up and just change your position and talk for a minute to each other and encourage each other. 15-minute message, short message. Great. Thank you for those words, huh? It's good to see Pastor Joe Roach here tonight. There he is. There he is walking out the door right there. Hey, good to see you. Okay, you may be seated. Could I have that iPad, Pastor Steve? This morning after the service, a man came up to talk to me and I could tell he was touched. He wanted to talk to me, so we went in the cafe and we talked. And he's from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. He's actually from Nepal, but he lives up in Harrisburg. And he said, "I was here 10 years ago, and I've been thinking about coming down here." Like for 10 years. Wow. See, you're doing better than others. But he said, "I'm not a Christian. I'm a Hindu." And so we talked. And I loved it because it says in this psalm, 111 in verse 2. 111 verse 2. Is it up there? Not yet. I'll beat them. I'll beat it. Beat them to it. Did they get it? Yeah. The works of the Lord are great. I'm looking for the work of God. Are you? The work of God. Do you know that man driving down here an hour and a half to be here? I said, "Why did you come?" He said, "I like to think the thoughts that you people think. I like the Christians. I like the church. And I remember being here 10 years ago. And so I feel God is doing that in his life." And as we talked, I just realized that I just think this way. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Have you seen any work of God lately? Have you seen the work of God? Isn't that a joy when somebody comes to Christ? Isn't that amazing? So our theme is the church is a feast. I wonder if these are going to be painted over this week, or because we finished this theme, so are we going to keep them up and do it again next year? So anyway, the feast of God. There was this preacher, Jonathan Goforth. Many of you have heard of him. Perhaps no missionary lived up to his name better than the one called Goforth. Jonathan Goforth, a Canadian by birth, has been called China's most outstanding evangelist. Missionary historian Ruth Tucker writes, "Of all the missionaries who served in the Orient during the 19th and early 20th centuries, none saw greater immediate response to his personal ministry than did Jonathan Goforth. God's missionary program for the past half century would not have been complete without him. He became a powerful evangelist throughout Asia. His crowds were sometimes 25,000. His Chinese home was open to inquirers. One day alone, 2,000 people showed up at his home. Multitudes throughout the Orient came to Christ through Jonathan and his wife Rosalind. During his missionary career, 50 Chinese converts went out as ministers or evangelists. When did he go? What led him overseas? At 18 years old, he read Robert Murray Machiant's memoirs. A veteran missionary, Jordan McKay, was traveling in North America for 2 years trying to recruit people. He was totally a failure. Nobody followed him to Asia except one man, excuse me, Jonathan. He listened. The missionary McKay said, I have failed. Nobody will go with me back. But Jonathan Goforth said, I will go. Okay, the work of God. It's something we look for. Turn to Colossians with me, please. Chapter 4. Excuse me. Verse 17. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. Okay, could you read that and explain that to your neighbor just now for a minute? Go ahead, give it your best. Who is Archippus? Huh? He's a disciple. Say to him, what? Be aware of your ministry. Be aware. Realize you have one. You have one. We could say that to a Bible college student. You have one, to a mom, a dad. You have one. Take heed. Be aware that maybe you won't do it. Maybe it won't happen. Maybe you won't go. Maybe you won't learn. Maybe you won't receive. So Archippus, don't be that way, but fulfill the ministry that you've received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. So how does that happen? By the feast. The feast. So I want to share a couple of things about the feast. Turn to Ephesians 5. Thanks for your love. Didn't Pastor Niazi touch our hearts when he said he came here and there's love here? Imagine he lives in Toronto, north of Toronto. He started a church. He put a Turkish flag out front, and some Turks walking by turned in and listened to him. Isn't that cool? Outreach. He has 12 people, 15 people. But he's doing it. He's doing something because God has a table. He has a table here, and he ministers to us. And he said, I came here, and there's love in this church. It's a great word. And then they take the whole week, Christmas, yesterday they came, Christmas through the week, the whole week to be with us in Baltimore. Do they honor us? You honor us by coming. Thank you. And by talking like the way you do. Thank you. Look at this verse in Ephesians 5. And many of you know it, but husbands, love your wives. Okay? Husbands, love your wives. Verse 25. As Christ loved the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. There is a day coming when there will be a feast like no other, where there will be a bride that will be presented to Christ. Christ is preparing that bride. And there's three words here I want you to see. Husbands, washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot. Let's put down the word here, spot, wrinkle, verse 27, or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. We'll put down the word blemish. This is what Jesus is doing to us. He is getting rid of the spot and the wrinkle. What's the difference between a spot and a wrinkle? I'm making this up just to provoke you in your thinking. A spot, you know how you get a spot on your clothes or even on your skin. You have a spot. You have something there, a spot. Well, his bride will not have a spot. No, not a spot. Number two, the word wrinkle. A wrinkle comes with age. Will his bride have a wrinkle? Also, in our clothes, it comes from stuffing our clothes in the drawer. And does that sound familiar? You stuff your clothes in the drawer and you pull them out and they're all wrinkled. Will his bride have a wrinkle from age or carelessness? No, no spot or blemish. Another word that we could think in terms of an error, a mistake, an unfortunate thing happened, an unfortunate disadvantage, a disability, something that happened that should have never happened, but it happened. But Jesus is working now, washing his church and preparing it. So that sounds like a progression. It sounds like a growth or improvement. It sounds like sanctification. And of course, that is what it means. That we are in a plan, an unfolding plan. You know, the Holy Spirit is teaching us. And Archippus, take heed that you fulfill the ministry of your calling. Jonathan Goforth had a calling. Another one was Peter Cartwright, that he... was an interesting guy to read about. He was a colorful, eccentric preacher, backwoods. I believe Abraham Lincoln met him, by the way. Trailblazing Methodist. He went from fort to fort, camp to camp, cabin to cabin, with or without road or path. We slept on buffalo skins before a fire, our saddlebags for pillows. We crossed creeks and rivers without bridges, often swam them on horseback or crossed on trees that had fallen over the streams. We went everywhere through Kentucky. What propelled Cartwright into such a rigorous ministry? He had grown up in Kentucky, devoting his early teens to drinking, card playing, horse racing, and dancing. All that changed in 1801 when he was converted at the age of 17. You know, the guy that came down from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, I don't know about his future, but I see God is working. We love that. God is working. How about this coming year, 2022? What is God's work? And how will we do it? How will it happen? Well, look at this list of words here. Spot, wrinkle, blemish. Is it God, Jesus Christ, that is preparing his church and that he's doing something in our hearts and in our lives where he's saying, I don't want you to be wrinkled. I got something I'm preparing. In this life, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of spots, wrinkles, and blemishes. But in the feast coming, there aren't any. But until you get there, I am here washing you. I am forgiving you. I am giving you grace. I am loving you. I am serving you. I am Christ. I am praying for you. I'm preparing my bride. This is it. That's what I wanted to say tonight. I'll finish by reading from here. It says, he said, Cartwright said, when he got saved, he gave up the world, bidding farewell to father and mother, brothers and sisters, and met Brother Lotschbeck at an appointment in Logan County. He told me I must preach that night. This I had never done. I tried to beg off, but he urged me to make the effort. I went out and prayed fervently for aid from heaven. All at once it seemed to me as if I could never preach at all, but I struggled in prayer. At length I asked God if he had called me to preach, to give me aid that night and give me one soul as evidence I was called to his work. I went into the house, rose, gave them a text, Isaiah 26:4. The Lord gave light, liberty, and power. The congregation melted into tears. There was present a professed infidel. The word reached his heart by the eternal spirit. He was powerfully convicted, joined the church, and afterward became a useful member. Cartwright traveled for 53 years through Kentucky, Tennessee, and Illinois, preaching over 14,000 sermons and winning tens of thousands to Jesus Christ. You know, maybe I'm not a preacher, but I have something to think about when I think of these three words. You know, Jesus is not wanting us to carry this around. Excuse me, the spot, the wrinkle, the blemish. He's not wanting us to be walking around like that. He wants us to be forgiven, restored, equipped, and see the work of God. I think this year could be the happiest year, the most effective year, the most encouraging year. I think this year could be like the Plunkets are going to Singapore, perhaps, and people are in Turkey, and people are on the move to Colombia. Excuse me, Colombia, and in this work, and we're just his people, and learning, paying attention, and feasting, and trusting. And maybe in your home neighborhood this year, you can say these prayers, and maybe God will give you an open door. Maybe your joy, maybe your words, maybe your love, your kindness. You know, we have a growing number of widows in our church. We have people that didn't have Christmas with their family like they have had for the last 50 years. It's hard. It's sad. That's okay. It's sad. It's sad. It's like maybe a wrinkle in my life, a depression or some unfortunate thing that happens. It's something that happens in this world. But Jesus is here with us. He understands me. He loves me. He forgives me. He's prepared a table for us. He edifies us. He loves us. He forgives us. And he says, keep running. Don't quit. Archippus, take heed that you don't turn aside. Let Jesus take care of you and you fulfill your ministry. Don't quit. Don't go back. Don't back off. But draw near. Because I believe, honestly, if you think of these words, I'm believing that this is in our lives, but it's Jesus loving us again, forgiving us again, speaking to us again, ironing out the wrinkle again, and saying, I am for you. I'm not against you. And keep going. Have your joy, have your faith, have the word, trust in the Lord, draw near to the body. We have a table that God has prepared for us. And it's enough. Okay? Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, we know the thoughts that you think toward us, thoughts of peace. We know the love you have for us. You'll never give up. You'll never give up on us. You'll never give up. You'll keep loving us and keep forgiving us. We are forgiven. You'll never stop. You'll never stop caring. Never stop talking to us. Never stop comforting us in the body of Christ, the gifts of the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we'll be ministers of God and help each other in the body of Christ and edify each other. Thank you, Lord. There is a day coming when we'll be presented a beautiful bride without any spot, without any wrinkle, and without any foolishness. No blemish, no. Thank you, God. Bless our people. Lead us this coming year. Give us your guidance. Help us. And may we see your work amongst us in Christ's name. And then anyone here listening, coming to Jesus tonight, come as you are. Put your trust in Jesus. He's for you. Thank you, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.